Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The King is coming. It's what all the Old Testament prophets foretold. The King, the Christ, is coming. John the Baptist himself foretold it. In fact, as Jesus tells the crowds in today's gospel, John himself was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Malachi and also by the prophet Isaiah. John was the promised messenger who was sent to prepare the way before none other than the Lord. He was the most blessed among all the prophets because he didn't point only to a Christ who was to come. He alone among all the prophets was able to point to the Christ who had come. But where is John in today's gospel? He's in prison. He is in prison waiting to be executed by King Herod. He's in prison for faithfully carrying out his ministry, for preaching God's word to the king, warning him to repent for taking his brother's wife to be his own wife, contrary to God's law. As Paul said about himself and the other ministers in the epistle today to the Corinthians, John was not concerned about being judged by a human court. He was concerned only about how God judged him. And yet the question remains, how can God's prophet remain in prison when it's foretold that the Christ would, as Isaiah said, proclaim liberty to the captives, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Where was all that? What's more, John had preached about Jesus that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Where was the winnowing fan? Where was the fire? God's prophet sat in prison while wicked King Herod continued to prosper. Zion, the people of Israel, still sat under Roman oppression. If Jesus was the Christ who was to come, why wasn't he making everything right? It didn't make sense. And often, it still doesn't make sense to God's people, even to ministers of the gospel as John was. But Jesus' message to John in today's gospel was all he needed, and it's all we need too. And that message is essentially, don't lose hope during this time in between. John wisely, properly sent some of his own disciples to Jesus to ask him about this apparent contradiction, or if not contradiction, the lack of fulfillment of certain prophecies. If Jesus was the one who was to come, if he was the promised Christ, why wasn't he doing so many of the things that were prophesied about him? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In order to answer John's question, start, Jesus tells John's disciples, with what you can see and hear. Jesus is healing blindness, healing deafness, leprosy, lameness, even death. Just as the Old Testament prophecies said about the coming Christ, you can see that he's doing these things. Furthermore, you can hear that he is preaching the gospel, preaching the good news to the poor, just as Isaiah had prophesied about the coming Christ. But what good news is he preaching? And who are the poor? The answer to those questions will help us answer the rest. While Jesus certainly preached against the rich people in Israel who were trusting in their riches or who were being stingy with their wealth, he never once preached to the financially poor people in Israel that they would become rich, not financially at least. He never once told them that anyone was going to raise them up out of earthly poverty. Think of the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus, who was, in an earthly sense, poor and wretched until the very day he died. Never did Jesus change the economic status of anyone. So what good news? What gospel did Jesus preach to the poor? Well, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or, take heart, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Or, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That message wasn't directed exclusively to the financially poor. It was addressed exclusively to the spiritually poor, to the poor sinners who knew that they were bankrupt before God, with nothing to offer him that could ever make up for their sins. So Jesus stepped forward and offered them himself as the true Lamb of God who would atone for or make up for their sins by giving his own life for them on the cross. Now, if the good news that Jesus was preaching to the poor, as prophesied, was to be understood not in a financial way, but in a spiritual way, then maybe so was the liberty to the captives that was prophesied. Maybe Jesus hadn't come to jailbreak everyone who was innocently imprisoned, or to overthrow oppressive world regimes. Maybe it was a spiritual freedom that he was offering to spiritual captives, to those held captive by sin, death, and the devil. And that's often how the Old Testament prophecies are to be taken, as depicting a spiritual salvation that the Christ would bring, as well as a spiritual winnowing fan and a spiritual fire that will rebuke and condemn the wicked with words, without wiping them off the face of the earth with the sword. But there is also clearly a physical outward salvation that's included in those prophecies about the Christ. Jesus was, after all, even then, literally healing blind eyes and deaf ears and raising some of the dead, while at the same time giving spiritual healing and spiritual life to many. So which things were to be understood literally and which things figuratively or spiritually? In the end, it's mainly the timing of the prophecies that was hard for anyone, especially at that time, to understand. As we've been saying throughout the Advent season, the Old Testament prophets looked forward to the coming Christ and threw all the prophecies about him into a great future heap without distinguishing between a first coming and a second coming. That was by God's design. Certain things about the Christ were intended to be crystal clear, while other things were intended to be revealed after the Christ's first coming, to be studied and contemplated and spiritually discerned with the help of God's Holy Spirit. So if a person, even a prophet like John the Baptist, didn't fully comprehend every aspect of every prophecy about the coming Christ, did that make him worthless or unreliable as a prophet? Hardly. Remember, the prophecies were not invented or thought up by the prophets themselves. They were given to the prophets by God in just the way God intended. God was the source of the prophecies, even as He is the source and the teacher of the interpretation. To emphasize that, Jesus reminds the people why they followed John the Baptist in the first place. Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothes are in king's palaces." Back when John started preaching out in the wilderness, out in the desert, in his camel's hair, scratchy clothing, he never pretended to be something he wasn't. He never pretended to be scholarly or sophisticated or even important. They didn't go out to hear a so-called scholar. At the same time, he was never wishy-washy in his preaching. His message was firm and solid and sure. They didn't go out to hear what they wanted to be told, but to hear the truth from God. They went out to hear a prophet. And the truth that he spoke was always sure and certain. His entire message pointed people to repent and to receive the coming Christ, and specifically to receive Jesus as the Christ who was to come. There was no misunderstanding in that preaching, no leading anyone astray. And Jesus confirms that John was indeed a prophet sent by God for that purpose. No, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I am sending my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." Your face, your way before you. That's God the Father talking to His Son, talking to the coming Christ through the prophet Malachi. And John was the one who was to prepare the way for the Son of God. John was the one sent to prepare the way for Jesus as the Christ, as Savior from sin, as the King who was coming and is coming again, and as the one who would teach us to understand Him rightly. John wasn't the ultimate teacher of God's people. Jesus was and is. Jesus is the one who will teach us what we need to understand from the prophecies of Scripture and who will teach us to be content with the understanding He gives through His Spirit. Today's gospel is a beautiful encouragement to trust in Jesus as the Christ, even when you don't understand everything He says and does. "Blessed is he who does not stumble over me," Jesus says. He has done enough, hasn't he, to demonstrate that he is who he says he is, true God, true man, the one who came the first time to fulfill some of the prophecies about him, including the prophecy that he would suffer and die for the sins of the world, and the one who is coming again to fulfill all the rest of the prophecies made about him, including the prophecies that he will come with complete deliverance for those who are found trusting in him when he comes. So don't lose hope during this often confusing time in between the advents of Christ. Let the scriptures be your guide. Let the pastors whom God sends to you help you and guide you as a shepherd guides sheep to green pastures. God hasn't told us how everything will turn out in the immediate future, but he's told us enough about the Christ to sustain our faith and to give us hope. And as St. Paul writes to the Romans, hope will not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.